Well, I want to welcome you to our Sunday school class. This is a video stream. I'm making this earlier in my office at home, but it's good to be able to come to be with you, at least with this medium, and I'm glad that we can spend some time together and glad that you're watching the Sunday school lesson. Before we get into that, I'd like to ask you to be praying for Wilda Carter. She is on hospice care, and we want to remember her in our prayers. Also, Brother Miss Hawkins, Joe, and Nancy. Nancy's going to be having some more treatments coming up, probably. And Brother Hawkins also has some health issues. So we certainly want to remember them in prayer. And then continue to pray for Lakita Spann. She's had some good reports, and we're thankful for that. And we, of course, are continuing to pray for her. And then Alva Henry is not doing well, one of our dear faithful saints for many, many years in our class also, as well as the church. And then Lou Philpott, and be praying for them. And then there are others, and we want you to remember them in your prayers. Let me remind you of one thing coming up. It's very important. And that is Tim Lee. Dr. Tim Lee is going to be with us at Worth Baptist on July the 5th. He'll be there in the morning service, and he'll also be there, in the early service and the later morning service, both morning services. So invite your friends to come to that. You know Tim Lee is a tremendous speaker, and then an ex-Marine who lost his legs in Vietnam, and he has a powerful testimony, and he is an excellent communicator. So bring your friends and talk to your neighbors about it and try to get them there for one of those morning services if you can. All right, we want to go into our Sunday school lesson now, and the title of this lesson is Dare to Show the Way for Others. We're talking about facing giants and dealing with giants. And one of the things that we need to do is to remember that we've got to prepare the next generation and those who are going to follow us. And so this is a lesson about that, taking that challenge. Dare to show the way to others. I'm just going to read a few verses in 1 Chronicles 22, and I'll begin with verse 5, as David is talking to Solomon, about Solomon, and he says, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou hast not built a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and that name means peaceful or peace. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I'll be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Well, this is speaking of David, and it reminds us that he was leaving a legacy. He was preparing things that would follow him, that would have an impact on generation after generation. And even though David knew that he would not see that, he was challenged to know that nevertheless that was going to happen. So for centuries, we know now that the temple is called, has been called Solomon's Temple. For centuries, there were references to it. Jesus referred to it that way in John 10. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, it's referred to as Solomon's Temple. And so Solomon was leaving a great legacy that would be remembered for years and years and years. Now, first of all, let's look at this reality. And that is that David saw the goal. David could visualize in his mind what he wanted to do and what God was leading him to help get done. And that was to build the temple. He wanted a magnificent temple and structure to be built for the glory of God. And so Solomon started the preparation. And he was going to, or David started the preparation. He was going to help Solomon, his son, build the beautiful temple. And David knew that he wasn't going to get credit for this. He recognized that he would not be the one that would be there, that would actually be building the building and all of those things that were going to come into Solomon's temple and that beautiful edifice that was going to be built. But David really didn't care. Because you see, it wasn't for David's glory that he was building it. And that makes the difference. Some people want to build and want to do things for their own glory, but this wasn't what David was wanting to do. So he didn't care who actually got to bring in the materials and actually put up the edifice, because he knew it was for the glory of God and the kingdom that he was building was not for himself, but he was participating and he was doing something that would help in building the kingdom of God. And that's what he was interested in. And so the success that came in his life and later on was not accidental at all. The temple was built, but the reason it was built, one of the reasons was because it was the result of David's vision and David seeing that the temple was going to be built and setting the goal to see that it was done and then executing what he had to do and what he was able to do to get it done. And of course, mainly he was relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the strength that he knew he had. And he was turning to God. I want to build this building. I want there to be a magnificent structure. I want there to be a beautiful temple. And I want it to glorify God. And it doesn't matter if Solomon's the one that gets to build it, as long as it gets done. But he was planning. He was praying. He was casting the vision, we might call it today. And he was at the same time saying, I'm relying on God. The Disney World opened in 1971. And this was 4 years, over 4 years actually, after the death of Walt Disney. Walt Disney was the creative director of all of those things. And then there was another director that followed him by the name of Mike Vance. Mike was approached by a woman on the opening day, as a matter of fact, of Walt Disney World. And she said this, she made this statement, you can understand why she would make the statement. She said, isn't it too bad that Walt Disney isn't alive to see this? And Vance replied this, he simply said this, he did see it, that's why it's here. And so David did see it, and that's why it got built. He cast the vision. David saw the goal. And of course, the first thing we recognize and try to emphasize is that it was for the glory of God. How important is it that the things we do are for the glory of God? David was indeed a humbled man. He really was. Now, David was not perfect, but David was humble. In 1 Chronicles 17, 16 and verse 20, he said this, who am I, O Lord God, and what is mine house, that thou hast brought me hither? O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God besides thee, according to all that we have heard of our ears. David was simply saying, Lord, you brought me to this place. Who am I that you would do such a thing with me? He was very humble, and he wanted to glorify God. That's what he was saying there in verse 20. O Lord, there's none like thee. I want to glorify you. Paul had that same attitude. We know it as we read the scriptures. And for instance, in Galatians 6:14, Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You see, God was first in David's life, and God was number one. He was first in Paul's life. Can that be said of you? Can that be said of me? That God, honestly, truly, no question about it, is number one. He is first in our lives. In Colossians 1:18, the Bible says in that verse that in all things, not some of the things or part of the things, but in all things, he, Jesus, might have the preeminence. What a goal for us. And that's the way David was thinking. That's the way the Apostle Paul was thinking. And that's the way you and I need to think. And so David wanted to build a house. He had a vision to build a house, not for David's glory, not even for Solomon's glory, but to build a house that would glorify Almighty God. So it was also for the sake of others and for the good of others. And he wanted to not only do it to glorify God, but he knew that that temple was going to have a magnificent part in the future and in the lives and in the worship of the children of Israel. You see, Israel was God's chosen people, and they were the nation that was to bring honor and glory to God. In 1 Chronicles 17, he said, and what one nation in the earth is like the people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. So he's simply saying that God ought to be magnified. In verse 24, he said, let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel, and let the house of David thy servant be established before thee. He said it to be for the glory of God. And then he wanted it to be, as Israel's chosen people, a house where they could go and worship God, and the thoughts would turn to God when they thought of the temple, and so they could worship God. Wow, what could be more important for a nation than to really recognize, honor, and worship God? That's what our nation needs right now. We need to turn back to God. We need a revival, a sweeping revival, an awakening in our country. How important is it? The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness, that is doing God's will, all the things God has laid out in his word, without any question about it, righteousness exalteth the nation if we obey the Lord. But sin is a reproach to any people. If we disregard God's ways and God's rules and God's laws, then we're going to pay the price for it. And so they built that temple. He wanted to see that temple built so that they could have a focus on God and God would be worshiped and all of that would glorify God. And we need to worship the Lord. We need our churches, true Bible-believing churches, where we can assemble and go together and where we can worship the Lord. I'll share this quote with you by H.A. Ironside. And this was his commentary on Proverbs 14:34. Ironside said, history is the perpetual illustration of what is declared in this proverb. Nations, like individuals, are judged according to their ways. No country that forsook the path of national righteousness has prospered long. when pride and vanity couple with greed and cruelty have been in control, the hour of humbling was not far away. Israel will ever be the great object lesson for all people. When the word of God was esteemed and his will honored, they prospered. When sin and neglect of God triumphed, they became a reproach. He was right who said, Israel is the pillar of salt to the nations, crying to all people, remember. That's the way Ironside saw it, and it just speaks of our situation today, the way we need to honor God. And David led the nation to honor and serve the Lord, and he gave God all the glory. And as a result of all of that, it helped the people, as he knew when they honored God, they would be blessed. When we honor God and when we help others like David did, we're truly being like the Lord Jesus Christ. And just think of some ways that would be, that you and I, some ways it would be you and I can honor God today. Well, we could do that by going to church. We could do that by meeting a need in somebody's life and helping them out. We can certainly do that by witnessing to others. But we honor God when we help others. And David was honoring God because he knew the building of this temple would really honor the Lord and help others out. So David saw the goal. God laid it on his heart. He saw the goal, and he was casting that vision. And then David, the second thing we noticed about it was David surveyed the path. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, in verses 1 and 2 in 2 Samuel, God had been good to David. And the Bible states that David found himself at peace during that time with all of his enemies. And God had been so good to David, and he wanted to do something back for God. And God's been good to you. God's been good to me. He's saved us. He's kept us. He's sustained us. He's met our needs over these years. Thank God for that. And like David, we ought to want to do something for God and bring glory to God. And so he wanted to build that, and he wanted a place where the ark would be brought. He said, the tabernacle, the temporary place, just has curtains, old curtains for it. But he said, I want it to be a magnificent place where the ark of God, and the ark of God is a type of Christ, could really be honored. And David wanted a better place for the ark. Now, we notice that there were obstacles. David looked over the pathway. What was he going to do? What he was going to do, how he was going to get it done. But he knew that there were obstacles. And one of those was his history, David's history. And so God told him, he said, I'm not going to let you build it. You're a warrior, and that was your calling. You had to do that. But this is not something that's going to be done as you war and as you go in blood, shedding blood and all. And he said in 1 Chronicles 22:8, but the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Well, David didn't get mad and angry and say, well, now, God, look at all I've done for you. And I did all of that for you. Well, he didn't get mad about it. He just wanted God to be glorified, and he accepted God's will. You know, wrong attitudes and wrong actions always hinder God's work. We don't need to have bad, negative, critical, wrong attitudes. We just need to know God's will and follow God's leadership and follow God's leaders and do things God's way. And if we don't do things God's way, then we're asking for trouble. Go back to Cain and Abel. And Cain brought an offering, but it wasn't in the will of God. It wasn't done the way God told him to do it. He brought an offering that represented his own work and his own labor from his own garden, typical of people today who try to go to heaven, try to get saved by their own good works. But that was not God's way. God's way was that there would be a sacrifice and the blood would be shed. And so Abel had that kind of sacrifice. But isn't it amazing that he murdered his brother? because he rebelled against God and he lived in exile. He just didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, and he wanted to bring glory to himself. And that wasn't the will of God in order for that to be done. What we need to do and what we need to always remember is do God's will in God's way. He makes known to us his will. We just need to do God's will in God's way. And whenever we do that, God provides and God blesses. And that's what's going to happen to David as he does it that way. Now, we run into obstacles sometimes, and I wonder sometimes exactly why do that certain things happen, but you know, God has a reason for that. And we have many, many examples in the Bible where there are obstacles. God takes those obstacles, and those things that we might call tragic or undesirable things or things that were very inconvenient, and he would use them for his glory. For instance, you, of course, are familiar with the story of Joseph. And Joseph was abandoned by his brothers. You remember he was sold into slavery. And then he was falsely accused. And then he was put in prison unjustly. Imagine going through all those things. Imagine having those lies told on you. But he was at the right place at the right time. And he had the right attitude toward the trials of his life. And guess what? Well, God preserved a whole nation through him. Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, Joseph said to his brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph said, God knew what he was doing. All these things that happened to me, I just had to trust God, and I wanted God to be glorified, and he was. You remember the story of Mary and Martha, of course. Their brother Lazarus died, and they were upset. They said, if you'd have been here, Jesus, he wouldn't have died. A number of other things that were going through their mind, no doubt. But Jesus raised him from the dead after he got there. It was more glorifying to Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead than it was to heal him before he died. And on this occasion, that's what needed to be done. And what was the result of that? Well, the Bible says a lot of people believed. You see, God allowed him to die to raise him up that many might believe. John 11:45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. God allowed it that others might be blessed and believe on him. The Apostle Paul many times suffered, and he suffered certainly. He had with a thorn in the flesh and some of physical affliction. We don't know what it was. Nobody really knows. But it wasn't convenient, and God had a purpose in it. And the purpose Paul was very clear about was not to glorify himself, but the purpose of it was, of course, to glorify God. And Paul was saying, I don't want to depend on myself. Thank God when we come to that place where we realize we don't want to depend on ourselves. We may have some trials. We may have some physical problems. We may have some inadequacies that we are very familiar with. But all we need is the grace of God to go on. And Paul felt that way. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Doesn't matter what we go through, what the trials are, what difficulties, what failures, all of these different things in our lives, we just have to rely on God and know that God's going to use those things. And so there were obstacles, but they were turned over to God, and there have been in the lives of many people. But you turn them over to God and let God use them. You trust him during those times of trials. Some of you today watching right now are going through some trials, financial reversal, physical problems, family problems, maybe work problems. I don't know what it might be, but you know God's going to use those things. We certainly all are facing the problem of COVID-19 and all of that, but God's going to use it. And you know, keep a good positive spirit. We've come through a lot of things in our country, the depression and the fall of the stock market, 9-1-1, and a lot of other things that came our way. But you know, God has brought us through it. We just got to look up and look to Him, and God's going to bring us through these obstacles. So don't get down in the mully grubs and don't get negative about what's going on right now. God's going to help us. God will see us through. Well, also, not only were there obstacles, there were resources. There were resources. And so one of the resources was the person. And that's recorded in 1 Chronicles 28. You don't need to turn there now, but you might want to look at it later. David announces that his son Solomon would build the temple. And of course, Nathan the prophet had told him that's what God wanted. And David gave the plan. David gave the blueprint, as it were. And God used that. And so the person was going to be Solomon. And the plan was one that God gave David. He had that plan. And you can read about it in 1 Chronicles 28. But he also counted the cost. He had the vision. He knew what it was going to be, and so he got involved, and he believed that everything done for God should be done decently and in order. I believe that. I've always believed that as we had ministry, as I pastored churches and even worked 3 years as a youth director, I always wanted to do things decently in order because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Sometimes I think some people think it's an honor to be out of order and not do things properly and do things on time. That's not what the Bible says. And so David wanted things done right. There was a plan, there was vision, and then there were the materials, the precious metals that were brought in. 1 Chronicles 28, you can read about those things in other places. Gold was brought in. Gold, real gold, and the purest of gold, and silver was brought in. Even the utensils, even the hooks, even the vessels that were used in the temple. Can you imagine gold and silver? We don't have any of that kind of thing in our church, in our buildings. We don't have gold and silver, I can promise you. We have a pretty nice building. We did the best we could with what we had, but we don't have gold and silver, but David said, I want God to have the very best in this one magnificent building, and it's going to be built right, and inside the utensils, the tables, the different things, they're going to be gold, and they're either going to be gold or silver. So, David, you're going to require a lot, all these precious metals, but well, remember now that David did his part. He saved and he kept things back so that they'd be ready to do this. And he wanted to do his part. And he did that. Now, a good question for us today would be, are we doing our part? I mean, are we really doing our part to make the church of the living God what it really ought to be? We should be doing everything we can. Whatever God has equipped us to do, and given us the ability to do, and given us the resources to do, we ought to be doing it for the glory of God. Now, what if David hadn't laid back and preserved and put up all these resources when it was time to build? It would have delayed it. It would have taken a long time. It would have been forever almost getting the temple built. But David was prepared. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly. He prepared abundantly before his death, before he died. And so after it was built for centuries and centuries, people benefited from the magnificent temple for a long time. because of his preparation and leaving this wonderful legacy. What are we leaving behind? David left and helped make sure that this temple was built and left behind as a legacy to his life and to help other people and to the glory of God. What are we leaving behind in our lives? Let me ask you that today. What are you leaving behind that's going to have a lasting spiritual effect on your children, grandchildren, and those that you know? That'll have lasting value. What are we leaving behind that will be beneficial? Well, David contributed. He contributed time. He contributed costly materials. And when we look at that, it ought to remind us that our work for God should cost us something, like it did David. Sacrifice of time, sacrifice of our money, sacrifice of our energy in serving the Lord. I think of the widow in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And can you just see this little lady doing this? And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Well, he's talking about a percentage of what she had. And here's what he says, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury, her little bit, hath cast in all the living that she had. You see, service is measured really not by all the wealth we have, but by the sacrifices that we make for our Lord. So David saw the goal, and David surveyed the path and made some sacrifices and had the vision to leave a legacy to help others. And then David supported the man. He supported his son, Solomon. David really helped prepare the man, first of all. He helped prepare the man. That's what leadership really does. Real leadership prepares those that are following them. It may be leadership to prepare a Sunday school teacher or a young Christian to disciple or some staff worker that is prepared by the example and the person who has put them on staff, working with them and teaching them what they could teach them. And then David supported the man, but he showed his support. How did he do that? First of all, by praying. 1 Chronicles 29:19. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. Now he's praying. He's praying to God to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, and to do all these things and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. He's praying to God to help Solomon. And so a lot of times we hear people say this, I'm praying for you and that's the least I can do. Well, really, that's not the least you can do, friend. That's the most marvelous thing you can do. That's one of the greatest things you can do. Throughout all of my ministry and people, I always wanted them to pray for me and still ask them to pray for me. And they may not be able to help in a lot of other ways, but prayer is so valuable. Missionaries often say, well, if you can't take me on for support and all this, pray for me. Well, a lot of times people think they just say that, but let me tell you, they mean it. We need prayer, and prayer is important. And so he prayed, and he prayed that Solomon would keep a right heart. That's all recorded in 1 Chronicles 29. He prayed that Solomon would keep a right heart. And in Proverbs 4:23, we know that the Bible says, out of the heart are the issues of life. So he prayed that God would keep his heart right. And he knew that a divided heart would never work. Some of us try to walk the line or we try to go down the middle road, and that just won't work. A divided heart is very dangerous, actually. And so he was praying for him, and he was praying that a hedge would be put around him, in essence. Luke 22:31-32, and the Lord said, talking about Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, How would you like to have Jesus pray for you? Friend, he is praying for us. Don't you know he's making intercession for us? But he said to Peter, the devil wants you, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when you make things right, strengthen thy brethren. Well, we know Peter temporarily failed, but his prayer was answered at Pentecost. That is the prayer of Jesus. And on day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 got saved. Many, many later was saved under his ministry. He wrote 2 New Testament epistles, and he served God faithfully until he was martyred. Well, I'm glad Jesus prayed for him, and I believe his prayer was answered. Paul often requested prayer on his behalf. In 1 Thessalonians 5:25, he said, "Brethren, pray for us." 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." And Paul assured other people that, hey, I'm praying for you. And that's what we ought to do. Pray for me, I'm praying for you. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." Philippians 1:9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." He said, "I'm praying." Colossians 1:9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Wow. Paul said, "I need your prayers." And I can tell you today, we need each other's prayers. David wanted Solomon to succeed. And so we've got to pray for people we want to succeed. You want your children to succeed? Pray for them. You want your grandchildren to succeed? Pray for them. You want others, your friends to succeed? Pray for them. We need to pray one for another. And then he showed his support by preparing. Again, getting back to that preparation, he showed him that he would prosper if he would obey the Lord. That was part of his admonition to him. In our text, 1 Chronicles 22:13, he said in verse 13, "Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong, be of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed." You see, he was telling him, if you'll obey, and God will bless you. He's preparing him. Obey, God will bless you. And he prepared men to help also with Jonathan. That's pointed out in verse 15 of our text. He prepared men to help him. He said, "Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers of workers of stone and timber." I've got somebody there to cut the stone. I've got somebody there to cut down the timber. And so he said, "I'm giving you men to help. I'm praying for you." And then he prodded him to get started. In verse 16, he was saying to Solomon, "Of the gold and silver and the brass and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." He said, "Solomon, get with it. Don't fool around. Don't wait. You know, it's amazing to me how the devil causes people who could be doing something now for God to procrastinate and put it off and say, "Well, I'll get to it later. I'll do it later." People with ADD, sometimes it's spiritual ADD is what it really is. "I'll serve later. I'll sacrifice later." No, we'll serve today. We'll sacrifice now, today. It is our responsibility to do those things. It is our responsibility to prepare our successors to do that. It's so important. We know Moses prepared Joshua, Deuteronomy 3:28, "But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." Deuteronomy 31:7-8, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage." And he said even more than that to him. Elijah spoke to Elisha. And we find that he was anointed. And in 1 Kings 19:19, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he really encouraged him and instructed him, and he was used of God. And in 2 Kings 2:4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and that happened a number of times. And he simply was saying, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to be somebody that has power with God like you did. Dwight L. Moody brought R.A. Torrey to work with him in Chicago in 1889. And he brought him in to head up the newly formed Bible Institute, Moody Bible Institute. When Moody died, and that was 10 years later, Torrey took up a worldwide evangelistic ministry. And Torrey had studied Moody's life closely. And in 1923, he preached a message, and that message is still being circulated. And the title of it is Why God Used D.L. Moody. You see, he was training him, and then he took over the helm, and he began to explain to others why God used D.L. Moody. And I might add, that's why God used also R.A. Torrey. If we Christians thrive in the future, or if we see Christianity thrive, then we've got to support the next generation. We've got to train them. We've got to pray for them. We've got to prepare them to build lasting lives and works for God. And we've got to prepare them to prepare the next generation. That's one of the things I wanted to do with my children and my grandchildren. Now we've got great-grandchildren, and I'm just trusting God that the preparation would go right on and from generation to generation. We need to work now and serve God. John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We may not build a temple, most likely we're not going to, but many things there are that we can do as God's people. And we can certainly help those who follow us, like David helped Solomon, to prepare, to assist, to pray, do all of those things. And if we can't do the project, certainly we can help others to do it. Will Allen Drumgoole once wrote a poem entitled The Bridge Builder, and I want to read that to you in closing out our lesson today. An old man going a lone highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned, when safe on the other side, and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at the evening tide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. Let's do that. Let's help others. That's what David did, to prepare, to pray, to sacrifice, so that others might be blessed, so that God might be glorified. So let's build bridges for others that are coming and help them out. Well, our time is up. May God bless you. We look forward to being back with you again by video stream, and hopefully it won't be long until. I'm just praying till we'll be able to be back in our Sunday school class there at the church facilities. God bless you. If you have needs, prayer requests, let the church know, let me know, and we'll certainly try to take care of those things. God bless you. Goodbye.